fighting for America.
We did exactly what needed to be done in order to catch those who were guilty on 9/11 and to prevent a further attack. And we were successful on both parts.
This
and
report says it was not successful.
The report's full of crap.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president has the legal authority now. It's exactly the same legal authority that he had 6 years ago, and he didn't do anything about it. And since then, he has deported more than 2 million immigrants.
Fighting for you.
No, Kevin, yes. I logged 35,000 miles on my Chevy pickup in the last year.
I hope it wasn't a lease.
And it wasn't. And our roads aren't bad.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Our great friend Harmon Caslaw with us, producer of Atlas Shrugged. Harmon, good to have you with us. How you been?
I've been great, Kevin. How are you today?
You know, you've put together big projects involving fiction that is stranger than fact. As we get ready to end the year, sir, what do you make of just some of the stuff that has gone on?
I mean, what's amazing is, you know, I've been involved in the Atlas Shrugged movies, and it just seems as though we're living exactly what Ayn Rand wrote about 40 years ago, with this just explosion of power by the president. I mean, you know, obviously Ayn Rand was a big supporter of a constitutional republic. We have the three branches of government, but you know, through our lifetimes, we've seen exactly what she depicted in the book, which was an expansion of power in the executive branch.
How have we lost our way?
Well, I mean, somewhere along the line, capitalism has become a dirty word. And people who have succeeded in business and society are most productive have really been pointed out as being really the villains. And this whole idea of entitlement, and that we wake up in the morning and somehow we're entitled to something from the most productive to justify our position in life. And I think that mentality now has become so ingrained, and you know, it's costing us trillions of dollars. It consumes the vast majority of our federal budget. That it's going to take something very radical, I think, to get us back to what our founding fathers really envisioned for this country.
Yeah, but Harmon, we talk about this here with you at 580 KIDO, and I think the challenge that we all have is the lack of critical thinking skills.
Well, that and I think just an understanding of basic economics. You know, economics obviously does not work, or economic theory just doesn't work with people who are given power. What happens is the idea of retaining power overtakes the sensibility of free markets, of capitalism. It all becomes about, how do I stay in office? What do I need to do to retain my power? And this is exactly one of the themes that Ayn Rand wrote about in Atlas Shrugged. And you know, she was an immigrant to this country, and she had that moment coming from Soviet Russia, which was, wow, I've landed here in the land of opportunity. And it's something that we as people who were born here, we never have that moment. So she was seeing that being taken away from us, and was being taken away by the people who were thirsty for power, who believed that they had the right, really, to take away from us the things that people have fought for and came to this great country to experience.
So what do you think, if she were writing her book today, Atlas Shrugged, she would say about President Obama?
Well, I think that, he is already well depicted, in Atlas Shrugged. He's as guilty of doing the same things that his predecessors, which is really expanding the executive branch of government. You know, the imposition of, I think it was 3,400 new directives and regulations occurred just around Thanksgiving. And yet we all know that Congress is not sending bills bills to the White House to be signed. So these new laws are all coming out of the executive branch, and it really isn't the way things should be governed, and it creates this incredible stalemate. And, you know, she envisioned that this was the path that we were on. You know, she wrote the book just after the New Deal policies had been enacted, and really wanted to sort of show us, hey, listen, America, this is the path that you're on. And Barack Obama is just you know, one of the characters simply lifted right out of the book that she saw would come to power if America allowed these sorts of regulation, the expansion of the executive branch to continue.
And yet we seem to, instead of fostering initiative and incentive, it's a Harmon, as you've talked about, it's a cycle of dependency, the danger being that each generation becomes more and more inclined to be dependent upon the government, and they will be reluctant to break away or even know how.
Yeah, I mean, I heard yesterday that 30% of the millennial generation live at home. And, you know, when you and I were growing up, that wasn't even fathomable. And there was opportunity. And you're right, we're really getting ourselves in a very deep hole. And if you just look across the Atlantic Ocean and you see what's happening in these countries that have been governed really not for a very long period of time in terms of history under these kind of socialist regimes, they're all collapsing on each other. And so, you know, at some point we have to do really, you know, when Ronald Reagan was governor of California, he came in and he said, you know what, I gotta shrink the size of government. I've got to get government out of the way, and it's going to be painful. And California did go through several years of pain, but they emerged as the golden state, and we've had very, very prosperous years until now. We're back in the same mess. So hopefully this is just a cycle. We can clean out the mess in Washington. We can get people with good values, integrity, not going back there simply to acquire power for themselves, but to do good for this country, and maybe that'll get us back on track.
Harmon, when we take a look at just some of the big issues here at 580KIDO, what do you make of the government's arbitrarily enforcement of some laws but not of others? What precedent does that set?
Well, I mean, I think there's actually a bigger issue going on, which is the level of criminalization that the government has created for our society. I mean, it's just a constant. I mean, it's almost impossible for anyone who is an independent businessman to go about his business without breaking the law or without having the need to hire a lawyer to just kind of help them navigate the onslaught of regulation. That there's so much regulation, I don't even think the regulators know how to impose everything. And that's why I think you see this, what appears to be kind of selective type enforcement. What we're seeing on a federal level, which is you know, I think obscene, is how parties in power use regulation to retain power, use it to squelch free speech, and use it to trample on our constitutional rights. And to do it selectively, I think, is obscene. And I think, you know, we need to hold people personally accountable. And I think that, you know, that again is just sort of one of these themes and ideas that Ayn Rand wrote about in Atlas Shrugged, which is, you know, it is about the individual being accountable, being rational, and doing things that are in the person's self-interest, because that ultimately will benefit society as a whole.
Harmon Caslow with us, producer Atlas Shrugged 3. Let's talk a little bit about the final installment of that, sir, and how it reflects what's going on today.
Well, you know, the book written back in the 1940s is 1,200 pages. It was split into three parts, and what we've done is produce a motion picture based on each of the three parts. We now have the DVD is now available for part three, and we just literally follow what happens in the book, which is, you know, the book has sort of two elements to it from a structural standpoint. One element is that it's a mystery, and the mystery is, who is this guy John Galt, and why are the most productive, the hardest working, independent leaders of our societies and community, why are they disappearing? And what we discover in part three, we get the answer to that question. And the answer is they go on strike. Not the sort of strike that you and I think about, which is where people are protesting by standing in front of a business and discouraging others to go. But their strike is exactly the opposite. Their strike is a withdrawal. They withdraw back to a community that really is designed exactly the way this country, where there's very limited government, where there's free marketplace, where there's lots of competition. And what we learn when we go to this community is how much it thrives. And we see the outer world beginning to be crushed. And what happens when the government can't succeed by imposing regulation, it becomes brutal against these very people, just as you talked about, criminalization, trying to send people to jail. And these are the very things that Ayn Rand experienced when she was in Russia. Obviously, our country is never going to reach that point. But the message of this story is, if you allow the government to get greater and greater control over your life, it won't lead to the prosperity that's promised, and therefore the government imposes greater brutality on the most productive because it believes that's the way to get people to be productive.
Harmon, what did you take away from producing this film?
Well, a couple of things. Number one is, you know, what we learned, and it wasn't too much of a surprise, but I really thought that things would happen differently. What we really learned is that Hollywood is afraid of this message, does not have the courage to put out a film like this. So John Aguilar, my producing partner, the gentleman that acquired the rights from the Ayn Rand estate, you know, had to go put his own resources. We created our own distribution company and really had to go out and compete against this huge negative force in Hollywood. And what we discovered is across this country, the vast majority of independents, and nearly all the conservatives, they're free market people who love this country, who want to embrace this message. It's been a fabulous experience for us to meet those people. They have been our foot soldiers. They've been on the ground. They're the ones out there that are fighting every day for us and this country to bring us back to what the founding fathers had originally envisioned. And that's really been the real plus in working on this project since 2010.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. 580 KIDO, our great friend Harmon Kaslow with us from Atlas Shrugged, the movie part three. And we were talking about your struggle to make this happen. Did you ever worry about fronting the money and creating this new company and getting it out there? I mean, you talked earlier here at 580 KIDO, Harmon, about the loyal foot soldiers, but you still had to pay the bills.
No, absolutely. And there's been a number of liberty-loving, freedom-loving people who have helped us. Part of, you know, what we also did for part three was, you know, allow people who have been inspired and influenced by Atlas Shrugged to be a part of our production. We did a Kickstarter crowdfunding. So, you know, it's been, we've got an enormous amount of support. The DVD, you know, now is out. The whole trilogy has been completed. And so, you know, it's going to have its life. And Atlas Distribution Company is now out looking for, you know, films that have this sort of message and try to continue to, you know, keep the message alive of, you know, freedom, of liberty, those sorts of things that Hollywood typically doesn't like to make films about.
Well, and the reason why is the message. Of course, the message from Hollywood, Harmon, that you're battling and everybody else, is of, you know, moral relativism, of dependency on government, of the big brother state. That, it, especially when they have not only the educational foundations, but they have the entertainment. I mean, we see the culture changing through entertainment, through television shows, through movies.
No, absolutely. And the good news is, you know, that with the internet and new technology, it gives people, it brings down a lot of the barriers that people used to experience in distribution. And so you know, this is just, you know, a plus for us and something that we're trying to use our experience, take the community of people that have joined us and continue to hopefully spread this message similar to what you do on a weekly basis through your own radio show.
Exactly. Let's talk about a few other things. What do you make of the whole controversy involving immigration?
Well, you know, I think you know, our borders should be secured, and I think that the role of the government should be protecting us from the invasion of people who come to this country uninvited or without the proper, you know, documentation. There's no way for us to pay for and give these people all the things that you know, that they expect when they come here or that the politicians want to give them. It again appears in large part to be a power play to create a constituency for these people to tap into to keep them in power. And, you know, it just identifies, you know, a bigger and broader issue. On the plus side, what it does tell you is that this country still is the land of opportunity. It still is the place where people from the collectivist, socialist, oppressive governments want to come to this country. So there is a plus in the sense that we still are the magnet for liberty and freedom. But you know, the president, again, acting really what I perceive outside of his constitutional power, avoiding Congress, is just another step. It's another instance of, you know, what we saw in Atlas Shrugged, and I'm completely opposed to.
What do you predict for the upcoming year with the new Congress?
You know, it's going to be interesting how the Republicans use their power. The Tea Party has become, you know, a larger, greater voice. I think, unfortunately, you know, we have a small number of principled politicians, and they're the ones that are going to be beating their heads against the wall. Something that this country, you know, hasn't seen for a long period of time, and hopefully the Republicans can do it, is they need to figure out a way to get along and to do those things that America needs in order to get back on track. It shouldn't be simply about beating up the other side. It should be about what's best for this country. And, you know, to look at the Constitution and to abide by what it means and then to act accordingly.
Well, there are a lot of hopes for the upcoming year. You have to wonder whether it's here in Idaho at 580KIDO or Washington, that there'll be somebody who's running for president that will understand the significance of what has happened and try and reverse it.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, the obviously on the Democrat side, you know, it's clear sort of what's happening there and the people who are going to be pursuing that office. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was such a large favorite the first time Obama wasn't even on the radar. And so, you know, the exciting thing about the presidential election is hopefully somebody will emerge that has principles, who loves liberty, loves the freedoms that we have, and can really inspire this nation. I mean, that's what we really need, and can be a leader, a definitive leader, one that puts the interests of the country before his own retention of power, and hopefully that person will emerge and capture the excitement necessary to get elected.
And what about you? What's your next project?
Well, we're working on acquiring a few films that hopefully we'll be able to distribute in theaters. Stay posted, because when that happens, we'll come back and we'll share those events with you. But that's kind of where we're at. We're also, you know, looking at perhaps doing a television series based on the entire book. You know, we weren't in the movies due to budget and time. Able to take all of the messages and scenes in the book, but we still think, you know, it would be fantastic to have, you know, Atlas Shrugged maybe as a 30 or 40 part TV miniseries just out there, because it has so much meaning and should be accessible to those people who really don't have the time, patience, or inclination to want to sit down and read the book. Be an excellent way to expose them to the powerful message.
Well, we appreciate it, Harmon. If people want to get a hold of you, what's your website?
Our website's atlasdrugmovie.com. The DVD and Blu-ray's out, and we sure hope that people come by, check us out. There's also a nice online community at GulchGulchOnline.com, which, you know, like-minded people can go in and have a place to kind of congregate and share ideas on the Internet.
Harmon, take care.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Have a great one.
You too. We appreciate it. All right, there's our friend Harmon Caslow. Kevin Miller in the morning here. And always good to find out folks that are working very hard, doing their very best to make a difference. And we're doing our very best to make a difference as well here at 580 KIDO. Follow your dream, folks. Follow your dream and hold those folks accountable, right? All right, words to live by. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
Good morning, everybody. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, the Manly Man segment. Our great friend Dave Burnett with us to offer insight, opinion, commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Analysis.
Wow.
Information.
I need new business cards.
Infotainment. Digital mastery in the audio spectrum.
I have digits.
Exactly. Well, it's all about the digits. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So here we are another week, and I have been found out.
You have been found out.
I have been found out. Mm-hmm. I had a chance last week to go on my delayed honeymoon to my adopted homeland, I guess you could say, Nashville, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. And so you took the bride Daisy down to Nashville.
I did, and it took me, I hadn't been there since 06, I believe, so it was great to be there, great to see everybody, and wonderful to catch up with some old friends, get some barbecue, and I lived like everybody else has lived, and that was I just kind of checked out for the week.
Nice.
You know, I listened to a little talk radio. Did catch up with Dave Ramsey, and you'll see that photo today on our website, 580kido.com.
So you and Dave Ramsey went and hung out?
I did, actually. I went down to Financial Peace Plaza and had a chance to take a tour of the facility. And, you know, I'm going to offer you some tips on how Dave Ramsey greets me. And I'd really like you to emulate Dave Ramsey.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. What would it be? So was it a dump or was it a nice place?
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was a great facility. But, you know, how do you think Dave Ramsey greeted me?
You mean like personally? How did he greet you? Like he came out, Kevin, my buddy, how are you, my friend? Is that what he said?
He said, it's the Marconi winner.
Oh.
So I guess now until October, I'd like everyone to greet me that way.
Well, you know, what's kind of funny about that is you have yet to even bring that award in for your staff to see, for Ray and I and Ronaldo. None of us have seen it.
Well, it's
you haven't bothered to show us.
It's available. It's available on 580kido.com.
No, I'm not giving you a click through on that one, buddy.
I see. So it was very nice to see Dave Ramsey and to see the facility. And yes, there, folks, if you ever get to Nashville, there is somebody in the lobby that you can just walk right in and the beautiful young lady, she will greet you, and she says, hi, are you debt-free? I go, no, I'm Kevin Miller.
Is that what she says, really? Yeah.
Are you debt-free? Are you here to see Dave? Just like the TV spots or the radio spots and everything else. And I'm going,
wow.
It was, you know, that was neat. And that's about the only business thing I did. And I just lived like everybody else. I just checked out Charlie.
So did you take Daisy, the lovely bride, to like Dollywood and those places? Or
Dollywood is in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Oh.
So I had a chance to stay at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there and, you know, I saw the Rockettes. Saw Restless Heart, which, from what I understand, they'll be in town for the potato drop. Let's see. Did a few other things that I can't really recall.
Okay.
You know, went down to Alabama, had some Dreamland barbecue,
mm-hmm.
and saw some old friends there. And
saw the big guitar on the main drag there?
I did. Yeah. You know, my wife was very impressed with that. I, having lived there, I'd kind of, you know, known that. I'd done some other things. Went to my old place in Athens, Alabama, and ran into a guy that was still working there, the production director, and we talked about all the people that had been fired out of that building and where they'd gone. And, it, you know, he asked me, he goes, are you working in TV or radio? And that kind of gave me some, you know, that was nice because, you know, he, even in my me being a bell pepper, he thought I was handsome enough to be on TV, Handsome Kevin.
Wow.
So, you know, you go on vacation, but I did think of you quite a bit.
That bothers me that you go on vacation and you're thinking of me.
I always think of you.
That bothers me a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, here is something that that we can start the program off with that is not about Ferguson, not about how horrible this country is, but something a lot of people can relate to. When is it and when isn't it appropriate to take off your shoes in public?
When is it? And when is it not appropriate to take off your shoes in public?
Right.
I think probably at the airport's about the only time in public or a public swimming pool would you take off your shoes.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't think I'd be taking my shoes off in public.
Right.
Why? Did Dave Ramsey, was he in his socks or what?
Not Dave Ramsey, no.
Oh,
not
okay.
Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
But I'm on a plane, several planes.
Oh, no.
And this happened to me when I went to visit New Hampshire as well. There's this young kid, and he, like, takes off his sneakers.
And that could be bad because, you know, that could be odoriferous.
Right.
Was it?
It was interesting. I didn't smell his feet, and I don't know how bad it was, but he took his shoes off. And it wasn't just him. On the way back from Chicago,
yeah.
There's a guy next to me. I think he's an engineer at Micron because he was talking about to this other guy how wonderful engineers are. And I'm sitting there going, he takes his shoes off. So I start coughing. I do. I mean, I'm like, come on, dude. This is not your own personal thing. But he takes it. And you know me, I'm wearing Crocs. And I don't take my Crocs off.
Well, that's because when you're wearing Crocs, you're kind of like your shoes are off anyway.
You're exposed.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting there hanging out, doing my own thing. And I'm thinking, you know, why are people taking their shoes off on planes?
Hmm. Yeah, that's not good. I don't think I would do that. If it's a problem, wear comfortable shoes. You know, if you're not comfortable in the shoes you're in, if you're traveling, wear comfortable shoes. But there was that time when you flew years ago, and for the youngsters listening to the show, years ago, where you would dress up to fly on an airplane. Now people dress down. To which I'm happier that way, but
I actually liked dressing down. I dress for comfort. If I could wear my pajamas, I would be so. But I would, on the other hand, I would have a problem with people wearing their pajamas. That's probably next.
Yeah, pajamas on the plane. I have seen that actually on long flights. I flew to Hawaii once, and it was a late flight, and people were in their pajamas.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like going to Walmart. It's like, what? But they, you know, kind of cuddle up. It was a red eye. And took a little snooze. It's like, all right, I guess you're really comfortable. But, yeah, wearing the flannels. So I have seen that before, but it made me look. I looked a lot. It's like, what are they doing? That's just not right. Just wear shorts.
It is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So that was what I thought of you.
That does scare me even a little more now that I think about it.
Well, look, I'm always thinking.
Yeah.
So we have that going on. We have people going crazy about Ferguson. Apparently there was some Ferguson posts, some Ferguson people upset here.
Well, yeah, they, I mean, there's protests going across the country now of that Black Lives Matter, which is true. I mean, that is a true statement. But they're using, you know, again, to me, they're using a case of people who resisted police as their reason. So, I just think there's better cases to choose. But nonetheless, you have those protests going that it's kind of changing over into that. It's morphing a bit.
I guess. And I'm just sitting there, again, kind of living the life as a civilian and going, you know, is this what people have to get upset about? A select group of people opining about this. And then in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Not only do you have the joke that is Johnny Manziel here at 580 KIDO, but, you know, these players that are I Can't Breathe T-shirts in the NBA, now justice for such and such. And do we really, I mean, the NFL, which those players live, and look, the physicality of the job is tough, but they live a great lifestyle. Now they're starting to rip the police. And I've said this, and you know that I've said this, they're going to ruin sports with this social justice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be, and I have to tell you, I like the Patriots. I turned on Homeland yesterday during the game, and I watched the San Francisco-Seattle game. Too many commercials, too many stoppages play, too much yapping about stuff that I don't care about.
Yeah, I actually, and mind you, I'm in a fantasy football league in the playoffs right now, and I watched no pro football yesterday.
I think that, I could Mark Cuban be right when he talks about that the NFL could be over.
Yeah, I don't know that it's over, but...
Too much.
Yeah, it's just oversaturation.
I mean, too much when you're sitting back and I'm watching this, and I'm watching... the NFL Network, the three networks, ESPN, then the CBS. It's like, come on. Enough.
Yeah. It's just media saturation.
And the stars, I'm sorry, just aren't what they once were. And I think it's because we have too much, if you will, too many outlets. But, of course, in February, I'll be yelling about where's football.
Exactly. Yeah, the only thing in pro football I would have watched, but I don't think that game was even on, was the Cleveland game. And that's because your good friend, our political correspondent, Dustin, is such a Cleveland fan. And Friday was in my face telling me how good Johnny Manziel was going to be, the Johnny Football, because I kept calling him Johnny Benchwarmer. He said, Johnny Football, he is the future of Cleveland, and he's going to show Cincinnati how to do it. And I said, you know what? I said, he's going to be picked off at least two times, and I hope George Iloka is one of them. He wasn't, but he was picked off twice, and I said, he's going to be a bust. No
you
way.
You were happy about that.
I was, because I'm not a Johnny Manziel fan. I don't think his personality represents what professional athletes should be. And I just was never impressed with him in college, to be honest with you.
Well, moving on from football to college football, what are your thoughts on the big Fiesta Bowl hype? Is everybody pumped up about the Fiesta Bowl? And...
Yeah, everyone I know, all of my personal friends, I got a bunch of people who are going down to the game, very excited about it, looking forward to it. Arizona, a good opponent, should be a good game. I mean, Arizona's favored in the game. And I think Boise State's happy with that. Let them be favored to go ahead and play the role of the underdog for a change. And people looking forward to it. It's kind of weird. It's going to be on New Year's Eve at 2 in the afternoon on New Year's Eve. Well, I'll still be at work, for crying out loud.
Even the Potato Bowl, it's interesting. It's like two of five games this Saturday.
Yeah. And that was my whole thing is I'm rooting for Air Force just because of the men and women that serve our country and part of the Mountain West. And I don't know anything about Western Michigan. So there we go.
Here's the interesting question, though, at 580 KIDO is I go back to too much. We have too many bulls to this, that, and the other. Now, have you've seen that rumor on social media where Rich Rod said something about he's going to smack Boise State?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw it.
I mean, is that – I looked around. I Googled legitimate mm-hmm. news sources and couldn't find that at all.
I posted a blog about it on our sports site, which I was very careful to say he reportedly said because I don't think he publicly said – you know what? I think it's probably his attitude. It's his mentality. But, it's just one of those
but did he say
things
it?
Floating around. Don't know for sure.
I don't think that he did. And yeah. I think that it's a great disservice. And then you have all the Boise State people – mad, and I'm thinking, okay, what about your critical thinking skills, folks? Just because somebody posted something on a website, stupid.com or something like that, I can't believe that if Rich Rodriguez said that, that would not have been picked up by legitimate news sources.
Yeah, you know, I think...
What was your take on it?
Well, he was asked about it, and he said, I have no comment on that.
I have no comment?
Yeah, I have no comment.
Oh, well then...
So there you go. That must mean it's true.
Yeah, that's...
He's
going
to say the things that every coach says, oh, looking forward to it, blah, blah, blah. These guys are trained. They know what they're doing. They know what to say, whatever they feel.
But did he really say that?
Don't know. Reportedly, he did.
I see. Reportedly.
Reportedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Reportedly.
Remember that Jim Rome bit? Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly, he did. So, and by the way, the big news story that, as we get ready to go to traffic, people will be following today is in Sydney, the hostage situation going there, where it appears that Muslim extremists have taken over a coffee shop.
Well, I was listening to the top of the hour. They know who the guy is. He's known by the police, known by the media, but we're not going to say his name. Okay.
Reportedly.
Right. And
allegedly.
Then, yeah, and then they have the Islamic flag up there and all this, and mm-hmm. I'm going, okay. It's just very – have you been watching Homeland at all?
No.
Probably the best season. Didn't like the beginning of it, and the finale comes up. Next Sunday on Showtime. But I will tell you, a very insightful on why we're losing that war. And it's a fictional thing, and granted, it's kind of goofy sometimes. But really, their lifestyle versus ours, depicted in fiction, is just a home run this year.
I have to try to check it. I have to catch it online because I have not DVR'd it either. Let me do this. So your traffic now, Kevin. Welcome back. As you're coming out.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All of the techniques that were authorized by the president were, in effect, blessed by the Justice Department opinion that we could go forward to those without, in fact, committing torture.
There you have it. To torture or not to torture, I think anyone listening to us at 580 KIDO would back the president, back the White House, back the CIA. Dick Cheney yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press, not to be confused with Fox News Sunday, which you can catch here every Sunday at 580 KIDO, saying, look, this was all approved. We all know what the Defense Department, the Department of Justice, the Senate Intelligence Committee leak was about, this big report that people were talking about and continue to talk about. It was Nancy Pelosi. It was Dianne Feinstein. It was others being very upset, very angry at losing the election. So what did they do? They sat on this report for many, many years, and they're doing whatever they can to make President Obama look good, and they released the report. Look, and, you know, shame on the American press. Shame on the press in general for sitting there saying, well, we tortured these people. We're above that. If it saves one American life, yeah, waterboard, torture, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, time for a shower, buddy. Why are we so outraged by this? It's because it's not the Democrats that are the enemy, it's the press. I mean, take a look at all this Ferguson stuff going on, even in the City of Trees. Oh, it's horrible. Really? Is it really? Let's talk. Time for traffic. Here's Dave Burnett, Kevin Farrell of Judicial Watch. We'll also check in with our friends from Fox News Radio. We'll talk to the European reaction to the Senate intelligence report. By the way, is this stuff we really need to know? Okay, number one. Number two, we'll also get the latest from Rachel Sutherland in Washington. And we're going to say goodbye to a great colleague, a great friend. And we're going to wish them well. That's coming up. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.